Hello everybody, it's George Milan, so welcome back to my channel. Anyway, so explaining the result of the 2024 Westminster election in the United Kingdom, to put it in a nutshell, it was the Conservatives lost more than Labour won. But that's often the case. People say that it's not oppositions don't win elections, governments lose them. Now that's not always true. Sometimes that's overstated. But 14 years of disappointment from the Conservatives, and there were some Conservative achievements. And there's this 14 years of Tory chaos myth, and the Labour Party has succeeded in coaching Angela Rayner to pronounce the words 14 years of Tory chaos. But yeah, certainly the Conservatives let people down a lot, and Labour ran their campaign with iron discipline, a rather unexciting campaign, but it did the trick because they'd learned not to be too radical from Corbyn, who lost in 2017, lost in 2019, but came close in 2017. So they had to rid themselves of their far left reputation. And they wanted to contrast themselves with the Conservatives, who were seen to be all over the place, very fractious, just unmanageable. Still not couldn't control his own party, but that tends to happen at the fag end of a long period in office. Conservatives in some ways not being conservative, not cutting tax, not deregulating sufficiently, and the one drastic attempt to cut tax was too audacious under Liz Truss when it was just unfunded, and we saw what that did to the markets. Lost like £1.5 billion per day for the 33 days that was persisted with. So the worst prime minister ever is sort of a Black Wednesday moment. Black Wednesday, September 1993, when the United Kingdom had to leave the exchange rate mechanism, the ERM, and that wrecked any Tory reputation for competence. And then the Conservatives lost the subsequent election. But from 1993, it was 17 years to the Conservatives won another election. And so from Liz Truss's economic event, it could well be about 17 years from then until the Conservatives win another election. And it was Norman Lamont, the Chancellor Exchequer, in 1993, standing on the steps of number 11 Downing Street, announcing what happened. Or was it September 92? Was it right after the 92 election? I think it was 92 rather than 93. And who's one of his special advisors standing behind him is David Cameron. Anything else? Maybe the lockdowns were too long, were too severe. Brexit hasn't led to significant benefits. Illegal immigration way too high. As Farage said, this is the fifth manifesto in a row where the Tories have promised to bring down immigration. Why should we believe when you have always failed? So over-promising and under-delivering, pathological lying by Boris Johnson. So a lot of things went wrong. And then the factor which can scarcely be overestimated is Reform UK. The Conservatives, they won 122 seats, if I remember correctly. And if you take the Reform UK vote and add that to the Conservative vote, the Conservatives would have won 202 seats. So it would be a much healthier opposition. Now, having said that, they have done some numbers crunching on this. And they asked Reform UK voters, if Reform UK didn't have a candidate or constituency, for whom would you have cast your ballot? 36% of the third Conservative, about 6% Labour, about 5% Liberal Democrat, like 3% Green, a few for very minor parties, a lot of don't knows, and a lot would not vote, about 30% would not vote. So there's this idea that if Reform UK doesn't stand candidates, these people will automatically come back to the Conservatives. I mean, they won't, but let's say we still take a third of that Reform UK vote and then add it to the Conservative vote, then the Conservatives would not go up 80 seats. They would go up quite a lot. They would go up maybe 35 seats and so on. But Reform UK is a factor. Now, I think that they've reached their peak. And they'll come down a bit. I think they'll probably retain one seat next time. They're on 14% in the polls next time. I'm going to be very foolish. Sometime I do a video forecasting the next UK general election 5 years out. If a week is a long time in politics, we know that 5 years is an eternity. But I think that they'll still be a factor next time, but just not as big a factor. Because these new parties, they tend to have a big splash, but then they, you know, public interest and funding and so on diminishes, and within a decade they're largely gone. But I was speaking to a senior Conservative the other day, and he says, no, they haven't reached their peak. They are serious and they're a dangerous threat to the Conservative Party, not quite a mortal peril. So Reform UK was massively helpful to Labour and the Liberal Democrats. And the Liberal Democrats, you know, them gaining 60 seats, and a majority of those were courtesy of Reform UK. Now, obviously, the Conservative Party does not have a God-given right to be one of the two major parties and cannot take people's votes for granted. Anyone is entitled to cast his or her ballot for whomsoever that person pleases, and that includes Reform UK. Labour won, ironically, by being quite dull. It's going to be a bit difficult to accuse them of failure, though there will be some failures, because they promised so little. They've been so moderate and so modest. And then moderation's a watchword. There's this ever-narrowing Overton window of permissible utterances. And, of course, they will stringently police that, try and turn the police into the armed wing of the Labour Party, which it largely is, largely was already, even under the Conservatives. What part of demographic factors, you know, a Conservative council leader pointed this out to me a couple of years ago. Think about people who entered the labour market after the credit crunch of 2008. So people born in 1990 or later, and they've never known particularly prosperous times. That there was some growth, you know, under Cameron, under Theresa May and so on. It wasn't tremendous. House prices were just going up and up and out of the reach of young people who are working in their 20s and 30s. Whereas Labour is able to feed off that resentment and that fury. The Conservatives have always done badly amongst the junior generation, but they did atrociously badly last time. And as for the Conservative campaign, it's got to be the worst on record. Now, having a better campaign doesn't always lead you to win the election. Let's say, 1987, Labour lost by quite some way, but the pundits said that they did have a better campaign, more pizzazz, better slogans, better organised, things like that. Sometimes it's not really the organisation, it's the sheer passion. Like, for anyone who says campaigns don't make a difference, look at Labour's campaign in 2017, much savvier on social media, and Corbyn really played a blinder. So, the Conservatives were supposed to win by 20 percentage points, won by only 2 percentage points. So Labour made up 18 points. So Labour's campaign, I don't think it was fantastic this way, but it did the job. It got them that majority. But the worrying thing for them is what a dismal vote share they got. 34.7% is much lower than anybody thought. Conservatives obviously have got a very bad low vote share as well. That's partly because the minor parties did so well. Because you could see, the last two elections, certainly in England, it was largely a two-horse race because the Lib Dems did so badly and they did slightly better this time. But the minor parties, like the Greens and Reform UK, did much better than before. Go back to, say, was it 2017, when the Liberal Democrats got only 6% of the vote. They're up on, what is it now, 10%? I mean, that's a big difference. That's like a 40%, that's also not far off doubling. So Reformers second place in 100 seats. The trouble for the Reformers, often they're safe Labour seats. So, I mean, I don't see them gaining anything else. So turnout, 60% turnout, very low turnout, which tends to hurt Labour. So younger people, less educated people, are less likely to turn out. These are often safe Labour seats where it's not really competitive, they're not really worried. So Labour think they're going to win anyway. Labour might bring in voting at 16 off their really cunning compulsory voting, which will help them more than anybody else. So this is explaining some of the result. Rishi Sunak's heart wasn't in it. He screwed up everything from that launch in the rain. Now, it doesn't bother me one bit, but a lot of people are very superficial and presentation matters, leaving the D-Day events early. I can't think what other mess ups were. Not having the party ready. Some associations not even having candidates. I think there were like two seats the Tories didn't even field a candidate. I'm not talking about Northern Ireland or the Speaker's seat, because by convention the major parties do not put up a candidate against the Speaker of the House of Commons, even though legally they're entitled to do so. And of course the betting scandal. So yeah, like Murphy's Law, everything that could go wrong went wrong for the Conservative and Unionist Party. Now, the Tory Party is unlikely to be quite so stupid or quite so unlucky next time, but obviously can't take it for granted. The Conservatives are going to go up next time. They can scarcely go down. Right, thanks for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.